Joining me this morning on the Pulse of New Hampshire is comedian, actor, television writer, author, musician. I think I've covered it all. I think I've covered his entire life. Paul Reiser joining us this morning. And Paul, thanks for waking up early on the West Coast.
You bet. Nice to talk to you, and thank you for covering my whole life. You did it so much more efficiently than I've been doing.
Well, I have to tell you first, we're going to talk about your stand-up because you're coming to New Hampshire a couple of dates in May, which is very exciting because it's nice to have you back on the comedy circuit. A lot of people, I have to tell you that I was such a big fan of Mad About You. It was a great show. And I did not know that you had this strong musical background, that you actually wrote the theme song to Mad About You. I never knew that before.
Oh, you're full of surprises. Yes, you know, I wrote it with Don Was, who was the genius record producer and musician, great musician, and we bumped into each other right before the show premiered and said, you know, I said, I don't really have a theme song. He said, well, let's write one. And we went into a studio and wrote this song. And what I have been really tickled to find out recently, and I never knew this at the time, but over the years, apparently a lot of people have been getting married to that theme song.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Which really tickles me. It's nice to be part of people's lives like that.
Absolutely. I mean, Mad About You had a great run, a little bit of a reboot, too.
Yeah.
You're currently in a couple of shows for Netflix. I love the Kaminsky Method. I love that show. I just think it ended too soon. I wanted another season, you know?
I'm with you on that. I agree with you. We did there three seasons, and you know, and then I was on a show recently that I love. We only did one season. It's called Reboot, and it was on Hulu, which is still on Hulu, but we only did one. And apparently this is my new theme. Get on a show and then kill it. Make it stop. So I have a really very strong batting average going.
Well, you know, for all actors who want to do television series and things like that, there's so many streaming platforms now. There's so many opportunities for actors and actresses now to get onto some of these shows, and we're into this, you know, binge-watching of shows now. I say to myself, who has the time to watch all this stuff?
Oh, you know what? It's true. There's so much more content, but there's also, the nice thing is there's time. You don't have to get to it. It's not like they're going to take it off. And, you know, once it's on, it's on. So I've been catching up on a lot of shows that have been on for a couple of years that I just only got around to watching.
Yeah.
So that's the good news. It's not going anywhere.
Well, that's good. Mad About You, before we talk about the comedy tour, Mad About You, what was the attraction, do you think, that kept that show on for so many years and so many seasons? It was a great show between you and Helen Hunt. It was just wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I have learned over the years, it's an old saying, it's really true, that everything that's really personal is really very universal. And so I was writing about my own marriage, and of course we had great writers and we would all bring in our own stories. But when you talk about things that happen behind closed doors and all the little ups and downs and negotiations in any relationship, you find out everyone else is going, oh man, that's so true. That sounds like my wife. That sounds like my husband. That sounds like my marriage. And that was the comment that we got most often, and the one that made us feel like we were doing it well, you know. And you know, there was a lot of silly, funny stuff too, and we had some great guest stars. But at the heart of it was, you know, also that Helen Hunt is such a great actress, and we got along so well, and we had such similar tastes and sense of humors and sensibilities. And we really did love working together, and I think people bought it as like, oh, these guys seem like they're really married because they care about each other, which we did.
Yeah.
We did care about each other. So I think the combination of all that, you know, people, you know, saw themselves in it, and they kind of also, I think, saw a hopeful, you know, marriage. It's like this couple, like they didn't have it perfect. You know, things were hard for them, just like they are for other people. But they worked at it, and that's really the secret. You know, it's just you got to get off the mat and get back in there.
Well, a lot of people connected to it, like you say, you know, a kind of reflection of their own lives at times, their own marriage at the times. But you
for
guys,
sure.
you guys had great chemistry. You know, your television wife Helen Hunt, she was wonderful in that role, and so were you. And as you say, you had some great guest stars as well. But you know, I was just reading yesterday or this morning, I think, in preparation for my morning show, is that Grey's Anatomy has been rebooted again for the 20th season next year, and that's the longest running television show, I think, as far as dramas go. Mad About You was 7 seasons. I mean, that's an incredible run. I mean, nowadays, you get 5 to 10 years out of a television series, that's a huge success, you know?
Yeah, and one of the, it's an interesting thing. It's changed because of the Netflixes and the streaming platforms.
Sure, yeah.
They're more than happy you know, find economically, they're more than happy to do a show for 2 or 3 years and then bring in something new. It's not the old model where if you came into the network with a show, they'd say, yes, but can it work for 7 years? Can it play for 10 years? Now that's not an issue. They just, like, they're happy to have 2 or 3 years. You know, Kominsky Method was great, and they said, all right, we just want to get something new now. You know, so they like to refresh their catalog more quickly. You don't really get the chance to do it unless it's a big hit. You know, like, you know, Stranger Things is obviously, they're finishing up now after 5 years, which is what they planned to do. But as I say, for the viewers, for us watching at home, it's kind of nice to constantly have new shows to
sure
to fall in love with.
And I guess it all depends on the great writers that shows have, because you can't be on stage in front of the cameras if you don't have the great writers, I would imagine.
This is true. Yeah. This is true.
We're speaking to Paul Reiser. He's doing some stand-up comedy coming to New Hampshire. He'll be in Manchester May 19th at the Palace Theater. Great venue as well. You've never played that venue before, have you, Paul?
I have not. I have not been there, and I'm looking forward. You know, one of the things, when I started, all I wanted to do was be a comedian. and I got lucky, and all these wonderful shows and movies happened. And it took a long time for me to get back. I hadn't been, till recently, hadn't really been out there doing stand-up. And this year, I just said, well, let's book some dates and let's get out there. And it's the most fun, to be honest, for me. It's the most fun part of all these things that I do, getting, you know, people sitting in actual chairs and they're actually laughing. They're not on Zoom. They're actually right here.
It's a good thing. Yeah, it's a good thing.
It's great, and I'm having a great time.
Yeah, Paul's going to be at the Palace Theater in Manchester May 19th, and then up at the Lebanon Opera House near the campus of Dartmouth there on May 20th, the very next night. So they'll be spending a couple of nights here in the Granite State of New Hampshire. Do you remember your very first stand-up, and what was it like? I mean, were you nervous? I mean, do you remember the club you played first?
Absolutely, I do. It's ingrained in my brain. I was 18. I was after my first year of college. I went to upstate New York, and the clubs were just sort of starting, the whole world of comedy clubs. And I was in a club in New York called Catch a Rising Star.
I remember it, yeah.
I went on, you had to go online. That was the fun. You have not computer online, stand online. And you'd wait, and they'd be all afternoon, and then about 5 in the evening, they give you a card, and that's your number. And you want to pull a low number. I got like number 20. So I went up at like 1 in the morning, and you know, following 25 other comedians, some established and some mostly auditioners. And I went up and I did my 5 minutes, and it was terrible. But luckily, I think when you're young like that, you're protected by your ignorance. You don't really know how unprepared you are. You think you're doing great. So I think I was nervous, but somehow it wasn't until years later when I found the cassette of that tape. I thought, oh my goodness, what did I think I was doing?
It's got to be very nerve-wracking to be, you know, a stand-up comedian and wondering how that material is going to play out in the audience. Of course, comedy has changed now in the last 20 years or so, probably in the last 5 years, as to what's acceptable, yeah, and what's not acceptable now. I mean, some comedians are getting a lot of
yeah,
crap for saying what they're saying now. What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, you know, I think part of a comedian's job is to always know what you think the audience's response is going to be. And there have always been people who, that's their thing. You know, they love to be provocative or you know, push the envelope or make you think. And that's part of the gig. It's always been part of the gig. My thing is, I've never been that kind of comic. It's like, and people say, what do you talk about? And I said, well, here's the truth. I'm not smart enough to make anything up. So all I can do is sort of how Mad About You came to me. I'm going to tell you what happened in my house with my kids and my wife and what's going on, what I've noticed getting as we get older, all of us. And I'm just going to tell you about it. And people are laughing because, again, they're going, oh, man, this guy sounds like me. And so I'm not there. I'm not there to push any buttons. We're there to have a good time and have some laughs. And I do notice now with the world being as it is and post lockdown and all that, people getting out again, people are very relieved to come out and just laugh. Like, I even joke about the fact that I'm not going to talk about anything important, and to my surprise, people start clapping and going, I was just saying that. But they go, yeah, thank you, we just want to have some fun. So that's, you know, it's a great evening. And I have a buddy of mine, a great musician, who opens the show. It is a short set, so he gets some music, and then we get to laugh for an hour and a half, and then we all go home. It's very simple, and we'll have a great time.
I love it because I've been to a couple of comedy comedy shows in the Boston area here in New Hampshire as well. And it's
just
great to get out after, you know, 2.5 years of this stuff and just laugh and just have some fun.
That's the plan.
Yeah. Paul Reiser, our guest this morning here on the Pulse of New Hampshire on stand-up comedy. Started this tour back in August of last year, and he's continuing it right through the spring and right into the month of May here. He'll be at the Palace Theater in Manchester and also at the Lebanon Opera House in Lebanon in Manchester on May 19th and May 20th in Lebanon. Paul, great to talk to you. Thank you for all the great work you've done. I really have appreciated it.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your time. Looking forward to seeing you. And if you come to the show in May, come say hello.
I will do that, Paul. Thank you for joining us. Be well.